This part of the Bible has something to teach everybody, so I need everybody's help. Now, the first thing we're going to learn about is verses 1 down to verse 10, about what Paul tells Titus he must teach all the different people in the church. Can you remind me what different people Paul talks about, Noah? Yes, that's right. And then finally in verse 9 he talks about slaves, people who serve just one person, a family in the home. Now in verse 10 it explains why Paul wanted all these different types of people to live in a godly way. And he says this, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. Make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. Hutch was reminding us last week about the truth that leads to godliness. That's chapter 1, verse 1. The truth that leads to godliness. And these people, their lives have been transformed by the truth. And Paul is saying now they need to live in a godly way. And it's so that they can make that truth, that teaching, attractive. Making it attractive. Another word for making something attractive is decorating. Okay? Have you ever decorated anything before? Yeah? Now, this morning, I know it's August. It might not feel like August with the weather, but I've got something here that you don't normally have in August, and we need to decorate it. Would you like to come and help me make this? And then we can decorate it. Do you all know what it is?
A Christmas tree.
A Christmas tree, that's right. It's not a real Christmas tree. You can't get real Christmas trees at the moment. So, now, right, let me fold these down. So, we have a Christmas tree. Right, you can go and sit back down now. That will do for now. Thanks, Eva. So, we have here a kind of Christmas tree. Now, it doesn't look very special, does it, at the moment? It looks a bit strange. And I'm sure that when you get your Christmas tree at Christmas and you just stand it in the corner, it doesn't look any different from any other tree, does it? It looks just like a tree you get from the garden. It looks nothing like this tree we've got here. Now, why do you decorate a Christmas tree? I don't mean where does the tradition come from. I mean, why not just leave your tree looking like that all Christmas? The tree doesn't look special, does it? It just looks like a tree you'd see in the garden. It doesn't stand out. We decorate a tree to make it look special, don't we? To make it look beautiful. I think we'll have a difficult job making this one look very beautiful this morning, but I think we will try. Now, so I was saying, Hutch reminded us last week about the truth that leads to godliness, the truth that leads to godliness, and Paul carries on in chapter 2 explaining how we are to decorate our lives, to make our lives look beautiful. To make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. That's what Paul wants all these people to do. That's what we need to, each one of us this morning, that's what God wants us to do if we're one of his children. To decorate our lives and to make them attractive. Now, now I need your help again. So, come and choose a decoration. There we go. Is it starting to look a little bit better?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So good.
Do you know what? It doesn't look bad, does it? I don't think you'd see one like this in Harrods. Okay, we're nearly there. Very good. All the decorations going on. Right, if you've put all your decorations on, then you can go and sit back down. That's it. Lovely. So, you can go and sit back down now. So it doesn't look bad, does it? It looks a lot better than it did before. We've made it attractive, haven't we? We've made it attractive. Now, this tree is nothing like a tree that you will see out in your garden, is it? It looks attractive. It looks special because we've decorated it. So, Paul wants these people to know that godly living should be in everybody's lives if they're a follower of God, to show that the gospel is beautiful. To show that the gospel is beautiful. These people in Crete, their lives have been transformed because they've become followers of Jesus Christ. They are people who have had their sins forgiven. They are people who are living no longer for themselves, but living now for God. And Paul is saying, what happens then when your life is transformed by knowing the truth about Jesus Christ? Your life will be completely different. It will be decorated with all these wonderful things. Godly living is beautiful. And it's not, we decorate the tree to make the tree look beautiful, okay? And everybody thinks, wow, that's a beautiful tree. When we decorate our lives with godly living, it's not to make ourselves look beautiful. It's to make the truth about God look beautiful. So that's why we decorate our lives. It's not so that people look at us and think, wow, look at them. It's so that people look at us and think, wow, that truth about God really is amazing. It's transformed their lives. I can see what a difference it makes. I can see how attractive living that way is. It's so beautiful. There's something for everyone. Now, there's lots of characteristics in these verses to describe what people's lives are to be like. So, I need everybody's help for this bit. I would like you each to stay in your seats. I'm going to give you each a little sticky note. And I'd like you, on your sticky note, to write one of the words from our Bible passage that describes what people are to live their lives like. So it might be self-controlled. That's a lot of letters. So you might try something like kind. That's a little bit easier to write. So let me hand these round. I'm going to write one as well. You can write two on there if you want. Right, and then when you've written it, come and put it on one of the decorations. We're going to decorate the tree with these. It's probably easier to stick them on the shiny ones. They're not very sticky, are they? Great. So I'll read a few of these out whilst you're finishing off. We've got love. We've got respectful, faithful. We've got integrity. Oh yes, let me pick that one up. Worthy of respect. It's another one. Be reverent in the way they live. Sound in faith. Kind, very good. Eager. Does that say not self-centered? No, self-controlled. It says be self-controlled. Soundness of speech, pure. What's this one? Holy living. Lovely. So that is something for everybody. Something for everybody. Thank you. So if you're a dad here this morning, it means we are to be sober, we're to be controlled, we're to be reliable, we're to be loving. Ladies, be loving, be self-controlled, be pure, not wayward, show kindness. If you're a man here or a boy, be self-controlled. Not out of control. Show integrity. That means that you do the things that you say you will. And have dignity. If you're a child this morning, then be submissive, be kind, self-controlled, and not arguing. And when people look at you living life this way, they won't be able to say following Jesus is a waste of time, will they? They'll look at you and they'll think, wow, following Jesus really has value. Really has value. So whether you're at school, you can show your friends that following Jesus is a worthwhile way to live your life. If you're a teacher, then your colleagues will see that following Jesus is a good way to live your life. A worker in the office, or a mum at home, a student with your housemates, or in the societies you go to. If you're relating to non-Christian family members, all of this can show how following Jesus is a wonderful way to live your life. So we're not just telling people the message about the good news about Jesus, but we're showing them how beautiful this message is, because it changes our lives. Great. We're going to sing before we carry on looking at the rest of this part of the Bible. And we're going to sing about somebody who is very beautiful, because he has all of these characteristics, all of these wonderful characteristics. And it's singing about our Saviour. And we're going to sing, the first line is, "All my days I will sing this song of gladness." But in the chorus we sing this: "Beautiful Saviour, wonderful Counsellor, clothed in majesty." It's saying how glorious and wonderful and beautiful our Saviour is, because he has all of these characteristics. Let's stand and sing. Right. So we have looked at adorning, or making attractive, the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. Well, you might wonder, why? Why live life this way? Why would you do that? Why do we decorate a tree? And when do we decorate a tree? You said why? To make it look beautiful. But when do we decorate it? At Christmas time. We do it because it's the right time. Because it's the right time. It's the wrong time this morning to decorate a Christmas tree. It looks a little bit strange. If you saw in somebody's garden that they put fairy lights on their trees and tinsel, it would look a bit strange. Look a bit strange. We decorate a Christmas tree because it's the right time. And that's also why believers, followers of Jesus Christ, should live their lives in this godly way. It's the right time. So we're particularly going to look now at verses 11 to 14. And verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Something has appeared. It wasn't there before, it wasn't seen before, but now it's appeared and people can see it. It's the right time. The grace of God. The grace of God. Now, at Christmas, what we do, in our house anyway, you might not do this in your house, we put presents under the tree. Do you do that in your house? Yeah, you put presents under the tree. You give presents to other people. Yes, it was Christmas. It's not Christmas today, I'm afraid. So there are no presents under the tree today. But what you would normally do is put presents under the tree. Now, a present that has your name on it, is it something that you bought from the shop? No, it's not something that you bought for yourself, is it? It's a gift. It's something that somebody else buys, writes your name on it, and it's for them, that's right. You give it to somebody else. It's a gift. And that's really what the word grace means. Exactly. The wise men came and they gave gifts to Jesus, didn't they? And at Christmas, we give gifts to each other. And a gift is something that you don't earn yourself. If somebody gives you a present, it's not because you deserved it necessarily. It isn't because you bought it. It's free. It's a free gift. And that is exactly what salvation is. What God gives us in the Lord Jesus. It's a free gift from God. something we don't deserve, but it's still ours. We don't deserve to be treated as God's friends. You see, all the things that we listed before, all the things we've written on here, I don't know whether you thought about this when you were writing your word, you thought, actually, that's quite hard. That's quite difficult. So when you wrote love, maybe you were thinking, actually, it's very difficult to love people all the time. It's very difficult to love God all of the time. Maybe when you wrote the word self-controlled, you remember times when actually you didn't show self-control. Maybe when you were writing show soundness of speech, maybe you can remember times when you haven't spoken words the way that you should. Maybe when you wrote pure, you thought of times when you haven't had pure thoughts. All of these things, we have to say, they're very difficult. And we have failed in living life this way. We don't deserve to be part of God's family. We've lost our temper. We've loved self more than others. We've not been reliable. We've made a promise and not kept it. We've argued with someone till we were red in the face. We've lost control of our desires and given in to sin. We don't deserve anything from God. Maybe coming up to Christmas, people tell you that if you're good, then Father Christmas will bring you lots of presents. But if you're bad, he'll bring you a sack of coal. That's quite sad, isn't it? But you know what? God is nothing like Father Christmas. Isn't that wonderful? Because he gives us a gift that we don't deserve. Even though we have been bad, he gives us the best gift, which is forgiveness for our sins. All of the bad things we've done are rubbed out. They're rubbed out. And he gives us forgiveness. He brings us into his family. We're his child. And we have a home in heaven. What a wonderful free gift. You might think, well, but there's nothing good in me. There's nothing good in me. Maybe when you think of this tree without the decorations, you think, actually, that's what I look like inside. A bit miserable. Nothing special. Why would God want me? Well, you're right. There's nothing special in us. But God still wants you. And God wants to make you special. God wants to make you beautiful. His grace has appeared. And that's why our lives should now be decorated. Our lives should be decorated. It's a little bit like going on a journey. A bit like going on a journey. God wants to take us somewhere. He doesn't just save us and then leave us where we are. God has promised us a home in heaven and he wants to take us there. Now, I'm sure you've all been on a journey before. Who's been on a journey before? Who has been on a holiday journey this summer? Yeah, a few people. Now, what I want you to tell me, when you go on a journey, you leave some things behind and you go to somewhere else to enjoy some other things, don't you? So maybe you leave behind, what do you leave behind, Gracie? A bath. Yeah? So you leave behind a bath. Teddy, yeah, toys. So let me put home here. So a bath. Let me draw a bath. Okay, and a teddy. That's a bit difficult. There's a teddy. Leave behind a teddy. What else do you leave behind when you go on holiday? Your bed. But you have a bed where you're going normally, don't you? Maybe your bike. There's lots of toys that you might leave behind. I can think of something else. You might leave behind school. You leave behind school, don't you? Because you're on holiday, you don't have to go to school. So let me draw a book. Yeah, so you leave behind school and all the work. No, you don't leave behind your Bible. No, you leave behind school books. Maybe if you're... You leave behind your teacher, you're right. So let me write school there so you know what I'm talking about. School. You leave behind your house, that's right, where you normally live. If you go to work, you leave behind lots of emails. And your garden, yeah. So you leave behind lots of emails. You might be very excited to leave behind all your emails. Yeah. Your flowers. Yeah, lots of nice things that you leave behind, but you leave them behind so that you can go on holiday. So let me write holiday here. Now, what do you go to on holiday? Let me move the tree out of the way.
The sea.
You go to the sea. Let me try and draw. That's the beach. That's the sea. Let me draw the sunshine. And there we go. Maybe there's a boat out at sea. Yeah, so you go to see the sea. What else? Sorry? A cafe. Yeah, oh yeah, that's a good. Nice coffee. Lovely cappuccino. Noah?
Mountains. Kite?
Oh, yeah. Kite. There we go. Kite. Ivan?
Loved ones.
What, on holiday? Yeah. Yeah. I'll draw a heart. So people that you love. Yeah. Great.
Sand.
Yeah. There's some sand. I'll draw a sand castle. Great. So, all these things we go to enjoy on holiday, and we're happy to leave these things behind, even though some of the things we enjoy may be a hot bath and a nice cuddly teddy, but there's so much more fantastic things to enjoy, like cappuccinos and mountains and fresh air, people you love, fun things to do. Now, I'm going to go and stick this on the back wall. And I need your help with something else. Right, so holiday is that way. Home is that way. Now, can you show me? Can you come and stand here? If you'd like to. So we're at home. Okay. Can you show me how eager you are to go on holiday? Like, run towards holiday and show me how eager you are for holiday. Are you excited for going on holidays? Or would you rather stay at home? Yeah, with your speed. Show me how excited you are about going on holidays with your speed. And now can you show me how excited you are or not about coming back to emails and school and your teachers?
quite slow. Some of you don't even want to come back. You want to stay there. Great. You can go and sit back down now. You were eager, weren't you, to go to enjoy all the things on holiday. Go and take your seats. So you showed me how eager you were to go on holiday by running in that direction. And when you ran in that direction, you were going away from all of these things, weren't you? They're in opposite directions. So to run towards the holiday things means to run away from the things that are at home. And that's exactly what living as a believer is. So we read, didn't we, about it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Living as a follower of Jesus Christ means you say no. No to the things that you desire for yourself. No to the things that are of this world. And saying, yes, I'm going to run after those things that are all about following God and loving God, because I have a wonderful place to go to in heaven. God's given me a wonderful promise that I can live in that place forever. You can stay there. You don't have to come back and live in this world that's so full of sadness and sin. We have a wonderful home in heaven. So Paul is saying, let's head in that direction. Let's go there with all eagerness, because that is why God has called us to follow him. He says, Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us. That means to buy us out of wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Eager is what you were showing me there. Eager to do what is good. So, I think we should pray that we would be people who run with eagerness towards heaven and live those godly lives that show the people around us how wonderful the good news of Jesus Christ is. Jesus did appear. We thought about that, didn't we? With the Christmas tree, Jesus was born, the grace of God appeared. Jesus will come back again. That will be wonderful. That's what we're looking forward to. We'll see him in all his wonderful beauty. We will be fully pure and beautiful. Sin will be no more. We will see each other in that purity and in that beauty. And we're going to, let me pray, and then we're going to sing about that hope that we have. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the good news, the gospel, the truth about Jesus Christ. We thank you for the free gift of salvation that is given to all people. And Father, we want to pray that if there are any here this morning who have not accepted that free gift, who have not acknowledged that they are sinners before you, we pray that they would do that. We pray that they would see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would want to follow him as Savior and Lord. Father, we pray that for each one of us, whether we are older men, older women, younger men, younger women, whether we are employees or whether we look after employees, whether we're mums or dads or children, whether we're single, whether we're relating to friends every day or family every day, we pray that in every circumstance you would help us to make choices that are done in eagerness to follow your ways, in eagerness looking forward to the hope that you have given us. We need your help to do this, because we are people who are still in a sinful world. We still have sinful desires. And Father, we need the help of your Holy Spirit to give us strength each new day to live life in this way, to say no to ungodliness. And so we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.